Not sure how many of you were watching the coronation of King Charles yesterday. If you were, it was quite a magnificent spectacle. It's full of pomp and ceremony, most of which goes back hundreds of years. It's a very old liturgy, and they just make little adaptions to it every time. And in all the pomp and ceremony, we see the king, the new monarch, being crowned. And perhaps that's quite interesting for us in terms of this gospel from Luke to reflect on today. Jesus is already at the Last Supper with his disciples. One of the people who's going to be participating in the supper is one who's going to betray him. And the disciples, between themselves, just go down into some kind of argument as to which of them gathered in that room is going to be the greatest. Earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus eagerly desires to enter into this moment with his disciples, to share with them this communion in which he established his memorial. Yet here's this argument going on about which of them is the greatest. Isn't that some kind of a polar opposite of what it means to be in communion with each other? Isn't it amazing how quickly the disciples turn to self-centered pride? We can sit and partake of communion, recalling the death of Jesus and committing ourselves to his covenant, only to say amen at the end of the service and then start back into our selfish thinking and prideful actions. This argument that they're having between themselves is ultimately foolish. Jesus and his disciples are in a room and they're arguing who is the greatest. It isn't any of the disciples, of course, it's Jesus. Jesus is the greatest. So who's the greatest person here in this room today? The answer is none of us. None of us, because Jesus is the greatest. He exclusively holds that title of King over all. None of us are to be regarded as great. Only Jesus is great. And he shows us what true greatness is in the kingdom of God. He will define for us what greatness truly is. Jesus implies, against the disciples' argument, that the way that they're thinking and the way that they're speaking to each other is the way the world thinks and acts. Worldly kings have the right to exercise their lordship. Worldly people, on the other hand, tend to lord their power over others. Leadership is not about telling people what to do. Using your authority to make people do things for you is to lord your power over them. And that's what the world does. We experience this at work, and we experience it in so many different settings. People sometimes simply tell us what we've got to do, and we feel we can't do anything except comply. In the first letter of Peter, a warning is given that shepherds who lead the flock, that is, among them, the shepherds to lead the flock are not to lord it over the flock. And sometimes that authority is exercised in so many ways that are really harmful. People thinking that they've got the right and the power to tell others what they can and can't do. We don't lead by an exercise of power and authority, and that's Jesus' point. Leadership is not about bossing other people around. It's not about telling what people are to do. It's not about using our authority to compel people to do something. And Jesus sometimes describes those who are in authority as being benefactors. And that was a title that existed in the Greek-Roman world. The wealthy would use their wealth to give gifts, but there would always be strings attached to those gifts. They do certain things and they give certain gifts with the expectation of things in return, like service or honor. And sometimes worldly people not only command people to do things, but they'll do things for other people so to put them into debt, so that there's some kind of expectation of a return or a reward. And Jesus says that this is not how we're to become great either. We're not doing good so that people will have to do something for us in return. We're not to try to force obligations on people through our wealth. And then Jesus goes on to tell his disciples what true greatness looks like. In verse 26, the greatest will become the youngest. That doesn't really translate too well in our society. The youngest was the one in the family who would receive all the menial tasks. Young people had the lowest place, and the aged people were respected and venerated. And that fits with the rest of the verse, the leader being the one who serves. Leadership isn't about telling others what to do, it's about doing the work yourself. Leadership is sometimes not in speaking, but instead it's in doing. And the greatest person is not the one who strives to be on top, but the one who chooses to be at the bottom. And then Jesus asks a question in verse 27. Who is the greater, the one who's sitting at the table or the one who's serving at the table? And he then goes on to answer the question in exactly the same way that we'd answer it. We'd all say that the one sitting at the table is the one who's greater, not the one who serves. But Jesus turns that thinking upside down, and he goes on to say, I'm here among you as one who serves. And the way the world looks at things is not the way that God looks at things. Jesus is the picture of true kingship and true greatness. But what did he come to do? He came to serve. And King Charles yesterday said, I come not to be served, but to serve. And Jesus is the one who is serving in that story. Jesus is the model over all of us, the pattern of true greatness. And to live like Jesus means that we find true greatness in living for other people rather than living for ourselves. We forget ourselves for the sake of others. We don't tell people what to do, instead we do the work. We serve, and we don't tell other people that we're doing it, because true leadership comes through service. Greatness is sometimes doing the thing that nobody else wants to do. Great people are those who clean the building. Great people are those who teach the children. Great people are those who send cards. Great people are those who visit the sick. Great people are those who greet visitors. Great people are those who teach their neighbors the gospel. Greatness is often found in doing the work that's behind the scenes, the invisible stuff. Greatness is not about looking with jealousy or envy at other people because we can't function in their capacity. Instead, we need to see that greatness is in doing the things that are unseen but necessary. Great people serve, and no one notices the serving that they do. And we have so many great people in this church who are serving in such important ways, ways that you and I don't always see. If the only service that we're going to offer is something that's going to be seen, then we're seeking greatness in a worldly way that goes against what God wants for us. Jesus doesn't offer titles. Instead, he hands out towels, towels that are given in order to serve. And so we learn today But above all things, Jesus is great, and we're not. True greatness doesn't come from compulsion or power. True greatness and kingship comes through serving. And great people do the work that others don't want to do. Great people do the work behind the scenes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.